In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week's gospel reading, Jesus and his disciples were traveling in a foreign land, the land of the Gadarenes, of the Gergesenes, or the Gerasenes, depending upon which gospel account you're reading. We'll just call them the Gadarenes. And last week's gospel story was ultimately a story about the rejection of the gospel. It was refused. The Gadarene people hear that Jesus has healed a couple of demonic men possessed by demons, rather. They also discover that this healing has cost them, the Gadarenes, it has cost them very dearly. The demons who tormented the men were sent by Jesus into a herd of swine, and that herd of swine, we know, ran off a cliff and plunged to their deaths in the sea. The Gadarenes are upset by their financial loss, scared really, and they beg Jesus to depart. They want nothing more to do with what he brings to them. One can certainly see in the story of the Gadarenes an image of our world, the wider culture in which we live. Our world very much so is a foreign land to Jesus and to those who follow him. There's little tolerance for a life in which love and compassion and self-denial are the major marks. Today's gospel reading from St. Matthew picks up exactly where we left off last week with the story of the Gadarenes. In fact, it's really quite nice. The last verse of last week's reading is the very first verse of this week's reading. It's important enough that we hear it twice. Jesus, we are told, gets into a boat, crosses to the other side, and then the evangelist Matthew gives us this marvelous little phrase. St. Matthew writes that our Lord then enters into his own city. It's a theme I love to reflect on. We only get it in Matthew's account, that little phrase. He enters into his own city. And if last week is a story about the rejection of Jesus by a world that does not know him, today is a story in which Jesus enters a city that he calls his own. And the gospel today is an image of life in the city of the Savior. Today we're given a word about what life becomes when we receive the gospel, when we dwell together as brothers and sisters in a place which recognizes only Jesus Christ as Lord and King. And as he enters the city, we're told he's immediately met by folk who bring to him a friend who's paralyzed. Last week, the Gadarenes sat there and they steamed about the bodies of the swine floating uselessly in the sea. The Gadarenes refused to believe that Jesus could bring forth life from what is lifeless. But in the city of the Savior, today, things are different. Today, the people don't yell at Jesus to go away. Today, they don't yell at Jesus to get away from broken bodies. Today, the people bring those broken bodies to him. They know his power. They know what he can do. Life outside the Lord's city, as we saw last week, that life outside the city is filled with fear, it's filled with resentment. But life in a place in which Jesus Christ is called Lord and King, life in the Lord's own city, is life that is filled with hope and faith and joy. So what we have here this week and last week is a tale of two cities. In one city, the world's own city, you might say, we take those who are sick and mentally ill or violent and we remove them. We banish them to a hidden place and pretend that they are not there. In the world's own city, we cherish the pigs of industry, even though we know as the people of God, it is not lawful for us to keep swine. It's not kosher. In the world's own city, we don't rejoice when a brother or sister is healed, not when it costs us something. But in the Lord's city, things are very different. The Lord's city, Jesus is not forced to wander the tombs. He's found in the homes of its citizens. In Christ's city, authority does not rest in the almighty dollar or the corporate bottom line. Authority rests with the one who unleashes healing, the one who unleashes forgiveness. And where Jesus is king, we do not separate ourselves from the sick and the suffering. In the Lord's city, people fall over themselves to lay the hopeless neighbor at the feet of the Lord. The heart of the matter, though, Holy Scripture this morning makes it clear that life in the city of the Savior, life in the kingdom of heaven, it's a funny thing. It has a very peculiar characteristic. This life of faith and of hope and of joy, all of these wonderful words, we're told this is a life that we can only receive when we are at the same time trying to give it away. That's the catch. We can only receive it when we're trying to give it away. Life in the Spirit is only ours as we try to give it to others. Think of the paralytic. We know from St. Mark's account of the same story, and it's St. Mark's account that we hear during the weeks of Great Lent. We know that this paralytic is brought to Jesus by four friends who go so far as to cut a hole in the roof because they can't otherwise get to the feet of Jesus. And the big surprise in the story is that the paralytic is granted his forgiveness of sins. He's ultimately healed, not because of his faith. He's healed because of the faith of his friends. Because somebody cared enough to put him into contact with the risen Lord, the paralytic was healed both in soul and body. When we give ourselves to others, when we use what God has given us to build up the kingdom, to build up his city, as we enrich others with the riches that God has given us, there is that life and that forgiveness and that healing and that wholeness. Life in the city of the Savior is a life in which each of us strives to give to others what God wants to give to us. In the world's own city, the law of the land is keep. Maybe take and keep are the two great commandments. In the Lord's own city, the law of the land is to give. To give. We hear the same command to give from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans this morning. St. Paul reminds his readers that each person has been given special gifts by God for the building up of his church. Some are given the gift of prophecy, this ability to speak the truth in love to others. Some are given the gift of ministry, to bring comfort and encouragement. Some are teachers for the increase of faith. Some find joy in giving their time, giving their talents, and giving their treasures to others in need. And we can certainly enlarge this list and say that some are leaders, some are singers, some are good with numbers, some are good with children. Some build, some bake, some sew, some write, some paint. Whatever it is that you do, give thanks to God and let him have it. St. Paul reminds the Romans and he reminds us that God has given us these gifts that we might give them away. The very first verse from Romans this morning is, since each of us has gifts which differ according to the grace given, let us use them, he says. Let us use them. That's his encouragement. Faith in Jesus Christ is not a spectator sport. There's no ongoing victory of light over darkness unless each of us puts on a jersey and gets in the game, the Apostle Paul is saying. Let us use them. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is telling us, he is telling us, it is a team sport. This is not tennis. This is soccer. In fact, it's a full contact team sport, one with no clock, no timeouts, no second string players. Each of us is a starter on that team. No sidelines in the church. No benches, no bleachers, and absolutely no luxury boxes. Brothers and sisters, in the city where Jesus is king, our love of God is expressed through the love of neighbor. We show our affection to Jesus by bringing to him those who need to sit at his feet, who need to hear him speak those words of comfort and forgiveness and healing. The commandment to love God and the commandment to love the neighbor, they're not two separate commandments, sort of one for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the other for Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. When we keep our worship and our world separate in that way, we don't really wind up loving God or loving our neighbor very well. We usually end up loving only ourselves. This morning, as our Lord enters into his own city, he calls each of us, he calls you, and he calls me to enter with him. And he calls us for two reasons. One, he loves us. And two, because he needs us. Our Lord needs us. There is so much through the church that needs to be done. There's so many who need to hear the story of God's love for them and for this world. There's so many who need the truth and the comfort and the joy which flows from that life, life in the city of the Savior. And the good news is that God has equipped us to do the work which needs to be done. What St. Paul says to the Christians in Rome, he says to us this morning, each of us has been given gifts. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us use them. Amen.